about holding a high vision for ourselves and our world. You know, when we were putting together the unfoldment of the year last fall, I could see what's coming in 2020. And for all the many myriad reasons of things that are happening out in the world, and realize that we have an opportunity. Because we know that, in the science of mind, we know that we co-create our experience, not only for ourselves, but for the world. And as we hold our vision high, as we know that we are part of the divine, as we know that there's something greater unfolding here and it's happening through each and every one of us, that we can support a higher unfoldment. And so I've had this kind of, I keep seeing that revolving door, you know, one of those revolving doors, of people coming through my orbit lately who are feeling frazzled, who are feeling tired. It's been a long time with all the things that are happening politically. It's been a long time that we've been holding on, worried about conflicts rising in the world here. I don't know about you, but anybody feeling that fatigue? Anybody? Just me? Okay, good. Yeah. So my idea on it was, and what came forward was that let's create an ability, a way for us to do something positive for ourselves and for the community. And so our theme for the year is 2020 Perfect Spiritual Vision. And so we're going to do a lot of these things. We've got our Best Doing the Vision Board workshop at the end of the month, and that's about visioning. We're going to do, as many know, that we are headed for a move at the end of this year. So we're putting together a team to vision for our new home. We're going to run the visioning class again this year. We're all talking about that spiritual practice of holding our vision high. And so we're encouraging everyone to add that to your spiritual practice. But today, we're doing what a lot of science and mind centers do at the beginning of the year is they go back to basics. And so what that means is we look at the foundation of the philosophy. We go back and look at the science of mind philosophy upon which we stand and study and practice, and looking at those basic foundational building blocks. And today, we're going to inspect our spiritual foundation. And just like in order to have, I'm gonna try and sound like I know what I'm talking about here, okay? I'm telling you now, so you can tell me if I actually succeed in this or not. But just as if you want to build a great house, a really strong, sturdy house, you need to have a solid, strong foundation, right? Without any cracks. Because if you don't have that strong, solid foundation, the rest of the structure is just gonna fall, right? I have to admit, I was gonna use the idea of building a very strong foundation for a cake, because we've been watching so many of those baking shows in my family, that I understand that if you wanna have a three-tier cake, you have to have a different structure on the foundation of it, or the whole thing's gonna fall. We actually saw a bunch of them fall, you know, which is horrifying. But I figured the house one would be better than the cake, because I don't know about you, but I'm a little sugared out from Christmas still, right? Okay, so you following me, right? So that's my little tangent for the day, so I won't go into that again. So the foundation. So we're talking about building the foundation for our house. And so what that is in our spiritual foundation is God, is our belief about God. It's our belief about the presence of God, and it's our belief about who we are in relationship to it and to life. And so I know I heard it in my head, all of you longtime science of minders who are like, oh yeah, here we go again. I get to hear that again. But this is the point of it. There's a reason why I did this. Is because we always have to go back and reinspect our foundation. You know, and like is it just as in any house, you build a really strong, wonderful house, you need to monitor and see what's going on in the foundation just in case something shifted, the ground shifts, right? The ground of our life shifts and changes, doesn't it? And so sometimes the elements make shifts and changes in the land around our home. And that can cause cracks. That can cause different things to happen. An unleveling. Do you ever feel like your life is kind of shifting a little bit? You know? And so what happens is that if we don't address these things, if we don't go back and look at the foundation, if we don't go back and see where we are in relationship to the divine presence, then if we don't do that, we end up finding ourselves in one of those places where our life starts rocking, where part of the structure might start to crumble a little bit. Have you ever had one of the structures of your life start to crumble? Maybe your relationship starts to go south a little bit. Maybe there's some more tension or difficulty. Maybe your health is not as vibrant as it once was because you haven't put attention to the foundation of that. Maybe it's your work life that you're just not feeling fulfilled or able to really share who you are. Those are the things that happen when we don't address the foundation of our life. And so, like I said, the foundation that we're talking about today is God and our relationship to God. So, today we're going to inspect your spiritual foundation. So, Sights of Mind has a different idea of God that may be a bit different from what you're brought up with. And I want to share just personally for a second, because this concept of what we're talking today about today was the thing that 22 years ago made it okay and opened me up to my path here. The idea of how we hold the presence of God, of how we relate to it, of how we look at it, of how we see it, was the one thing that woke me up to the fact that life could have joy in it. That life could be something that's not something just to fight against. That there's something in life that doesn't just have to be a struggle, because sometimes it feels that way. And so back when I was 26 years old, I found Sights of Mind, and I heard someone talk about God the way that we talk about God. And then I asked all the questions, right? For me, I was trying to find those places where the inconsistencies were. I was trying to find the place where maybe there was a contradiction, you know? And I was that person who kept asking the questions. And by the way, in 2 weeks we are doing questions and answers again, so I will answer spiritual questions from the stage, which I love doing every year, a couple times a year. And so I encourage you to ask me those questions that come up for you about this. Because when you realize that there is nothing in this philosophy that contradicts life, right? I didn't understand traditional religion when I was being brought up, and I have nothing against it, because I know that there's, if you go deep enough into any religion, there's something that can serve you and feed you. But I was brought up in the Greek Orthodox Church, and my mom, so on one side it was Greek Orthodox, the other side it was Southern Baptist. Think about that for a second. Okay? Yeah. And so I had it from both sides, two different kinds, from two different paths of Christianity from both sides, and none of it made sense to me. How could there be a loving God that loves me just as I am, but then I better be good or else it's going to send me to hell? Right? Hello. Tell that to a child. How could I, didn't understand. How could I be who I am and try to be proud as a woman and realize that I only had a small space that I could operate within in the world? Right? Like, they were so limited. When I was called to serve others, I couldn't in the faith that I was brought up in. And I was like, wait, why? And I'll spare you the way that I said it at the time. But let me just tell you, it was fun. So when I came into Sights of Mind and I started to ask those questions, and I was waiting, right? I was waiting for the contradictions. I was like, come on, tell me, okay, what do you believe about this? And what about that? And what about that? And every answer that I got, and everything that I learned, and every step I went deeper in this, it made more sense. Life made sense for me for the first time in 26 years. And I breathe probably deeply for the first time ever, because I realized that all of those things that I believed deep in my heart or back in the back of my mind, somebody else believed. Somebody else had seen the world the same way. And all of a sudden something opened, and I wasn't alone anymore. And I was part of something greater. And so my best intention, my best wish for you as we go back to basics this month is that you find your place within this philosophy. You find the nugget, we call it a nugget, the nugget of truth that serves you and feeds you and supports you in being the best you've come here to be, in creating the best life, the experience of joy and love and light and what you think is the truth of you, because somewhere deep inside, it's there. And so the idea that we hold about God is not that it's not the Santa Claus image of God sitting up on the cloud saying, oh, you get my favor, oh, you're in trouble. Watch out, you know, and judging us. It's not, we don't believe that God is a person, that God is a presence. And so God is that essence, that energy from which everything has come. And it takes a little bit of retraining our minds to see that we don't think of God as a he. You'll hear me say it a lot, right? And that's almost blasphemous, it feels like, a little bit. But because God is not a person, it's a presence. It is an essence. That's why we have all of those different words for it. And so many people get caught up or get triggered by that word God, right? And I think some of it's our experience of our youth that we've been, it's been hammered into us. But when we start to retrain ourselves, our vision, our view of what God is, and then our relationship to it, you can see that that word changes its meaning. And so that's why we have all those different words for God, right? God, spirit, essence, presence, the universe, the cosmos, the force, the love, whatever you want to call it. But I encourage you to find your word. I encourage you to find what works best for you, to realize that there is an infinite power and presence that has created the entire universe, including each and every one of us, consciously, purposefully. And it continues to support and source and pour itself forth into its creation, including each and every one of us, for the fulfillment and the expression of its being. Get it? Follow me? So there's a power and a presence. Ernest Holmes said it over and over again. There is a power for good in the universe. It's greater than you are, and you can use it. It's greater than you are, but it's all that you are. It is that which we are. And so when I say that there's a divine spark at the center of your being, I'm not just being figurative, I'm being literal. There is a spark that is part of who you are. It is what you are. And that's from the divine. That's from the infinite one, right? And so here we are, these humans in these bodies with these brains, which I often call old-time radios, like it's a tuner. And we are part of this infinite presence. There's no separation. We are part of it. But it tunes itself through these little brains of ours. And so the idea here is for us to stretch our consciousness, our understanding, our ability to see and to think broadly enough to stretch our beingness out as far as possible to welcome it into our experience, because there is truly no limitation. Because it's the wholeness. Like last night, my husband handed me a video to watch before he went to bed, and on his phone, and I wish I had taken notes. I was kind of falling asleep at the time, but it was about the cosmos and about a photo that was taken by the Hubble telescope. And I guess at one point they just pointed the Hubble telescope out into space where there was nothing, and they took a picture, right? And then they went and looked at it and analyzed it. And they really didn't expect to see anything. But what they found was multiple universes, galaxies, multiple galaxies, and galaxies upon galaxies upon galaxies, and this little piece of sky, this little piece of space, that they expected to find basically nothing. And they found almost infinite galaxies that were all moving away from each other and that are expanding. So just think about that for a second. Holy moly, right? Like, if you want to become spiritual on the fast track, I think you should study cosmology, right? Because when we sit there, we look up at that sky, and then we realize that we are sitting here on this planet that's spinning in circles through space in this tiny corner, which is a ginormous corner of the universe, and there's all of these other galaxies that are out there. Let's talk about that there's something greater, right? That there's an intelligence and a presence that is broader and bigger than we could ever imagine. But not only is it that infinite, it is as intimate as our Tennyson said, nearer than breath, closer than hand and feet. So at the same time, God is this infinite presence, and it's as close as your heart, and it loves you completely. That's the image of God that we're talking about. That's the foundation upon which we stand. So often we think we're separated. So often we think that we have just, and I like to say that God has put us out onto the bus stop and given us a quarter and said, see ya, right? Or now I guess it's 2:50 in the bus now. I don't know what it was now. I don't know. I've been doing this for a while. So you know, but that's not true. Sometimes it feels like we've been left alone in life, that we've been kind of kicked out to figure it out, right? But that's just because we have turned away, or we have not acknowledged the fact that we're part of something greater. When we put our attention on something, it grows. So when we put our attention on the fact that we are part of something greater, that, that when you can find that place within you where that spark is, and you put your attention upon it, when you listen to your intuition and it starts to develop and it starts to deepen and it starts to guide you, you start to realize there is something that loves me so much, that wants me to have what I want, that wants me to have this experience of life that I'm trying to create. You realize that you're part of something greater. That's God. That is what I call God. And so Ernest Holmes, who is the founder of religious science, I'm doing a lot of Science of Mind this month. We're going back to the Science of Mind philosophy. And the book of the month is 365 Science of Mind. And it's available in the bookstore. And I just need to let you know, that's a really great daily, great read. There's 365, so you could read one of it's a page a day, and it's from the founder. And so sometimes if you pick up the Science of Mind, the big textbook, sometimes it's kind of hard to read, and it gets a little hard to read. But and I love it, and it's brilliant, and I teach it, and I live it, but this is a great way to start. So if you're interested in deepening your path with the Science of Mind philosophy, I'd pick up that book. But this is what he says. The study of the science of mind is a study of first cause, spirit, mind, or that invisible essence, that ultimate stuff and intelligence from which everything comes, the power back of creation, the thing itself. So, God is first cause. So that means that all is created from this God stuff. There's power and presence, there's an essence, there's the cosmic soup, you want to call it whatever you want to call it. That's extremely, that has all intelligence, all knowing, and everything. It is the impetus for all of creation. That means that everything comes from God. Everything that was created, every idea, everything, every new invention started with a flash of an idea, which is that inspiration from the divine. So we can trace each and every one of us and all that is back to that infinite presence that is the first cause. It is spirit. That's why we like those words, right? Because it's an energy, it's an essence, it's a presence. It is that one mind. Similar to the Jungian idea of the collective unconscious, since there is only one, and it is infinitely intelligent, and everything's been created from it, what that means is that we have access to that one mind because our mind is part of it. And as I said before, that we are these tuners, right? I think of us as these old-time radios, you know, get the picture from the 40s that used to sit on the thing that they would. Yeah, so that's our brains, right? And our minds are part of this infinite one. And so we need to just try and open those channels as wide as possible to invite that intelligence, to invite that knowledge, invite that knowing into our experience. Because it's that infinite one that we're part of. There is only one mind. So the idea here is, you know, from Genesis, we are taught that we are made in the image and likeness of God. And so often I think that we think it's the other way around. We make God in our own image and likeness, which is really unfortunate because I hate to tell you, we're flawed, right? We are flawed because we are doubtful and we think we're weak and limited and we can't do things because of a certain whatever, blah, 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 blah. But the idea here is that we are made in the image and likeness of the divine, which means that we are truly unlimited, that we are connected to this great essence, this great presence that has created all things. And so as we step up into our birthright, as we step into our beingness, as we step into our knowing and depth, declaring that we are one with that one with that which has created all things, when we do that, then all of those walls of limitation start to fall. There's stories, you know, story after story of people stepping up in a moment with unhuman strength, right? There's stories of people realizing and moving in a synchronistic experience to avoid disaster. There's story after story of moments, of flashes of light that people have in their lives that remind them that there's something greater happening here. And I know that each and every one of us has had one of those. And that is the reminder that something greater is operating within us. and that we are part of something greater. So the idea here is that we need to look for the cracks in our foundation, where we are out of alignment with our belief about God. First, I guess we need to clarify our belief about God. That's how we build the foundation. But we need to inspect it, we need to look at it, we need to see where we are in alignment with this truth and where we aren't. I've got people who, I love it that we've been studying this for a long time, you know? And even so, I went to the mall the week before Christmas, right? And I need to tell you that the me who showed up there, I will admit, the me that showed up there was not the one that believed that we are all part of this divine presence and all deserve respect as we wait online at Kohl's, you know? No, actually, that was a good experience. But think about it. So the idea of who we would be, knowing this, knowing that we're part of this great presence, knowing that we're in this together, that we are creating this life, that we are creating this community, that we are participants in this, we are not observers. So what does that mean when we get triggered? How do we operate with one another? What is it like when you try and get on the highway at 5 o'clock going north on the 15 on a Tuesday? I've done that. And how is it when we, how are we handling when those bumps in the road show up? Are we handling them in a way knowing that this is the divine creation bringing me to a higher place of understanding myself more? Or calling me to a bigger way of being in the world? Or are we just cursing the challenge or the person or the experience or the situation? Are we trying to pray it away? Are we trying to dive in to find out what the wisdom at the center of it is? Because no matter what, God is trying to create something through you. And it's not something separate. It's not like we're puppets on a string. It's the presence of you that's greater than you even know. There's no separation there. Do you get that? Are you following me on that? That there is something that wants to move through you so badly that it created you. It wants to move through you so badly and express the aspect of truth that you are, that unique individual, that unique expression that you are, that it created you out of the infinite possibilities. It created you. And it did not leave you on the corner waiting for a bus. It's there supporting you, cheering you on, bringing you situations that are going to allow you to open up. And let me tell you, if you're sitting in this room, whether you're 2 or 200, if you're still here, you still got something to share. You still got something to create. You still got purpose and meaning. That's what this life is about, creating purpose and meaning and expressing who you are. So we need to look where we're out of alignment with our belief about God and about who we are. And we need to bring our actions into alignment with setting those intentions for who we want to be in the world. When life starts to go haywire, we need to revisit our connection with God. So let me tell you, when something happens, and this is just my share of what I do, when something happens in my life and I don't understand it, I get my tush in my meditation chair. Okay? When things start to happen in my relationships that feel off or feel confusing, I go and I sit out in nature in my backyard and I remember, because that's one of the places where I feel God. Whenever anything is confusing, I don't try and do the research. I don't try and figure it out. I figure out what I feel about it, and I find my connection to the One, and then step forward, and then move forward in my life, and then allow things to unfold, and more, I was going to say more often than not, and every single time that happens, it unfolds in a grace with a wisdom and a knowledge that I had no access to. So surveys, helping our problems, dealing with our issues, our challenges, is not about getting up and doing stuff. It's about being. It's about being more connected to the truth of who you are. It's about being open to allowing for that infinite to show up, for that wisdom to be shared. And so how do we fill the cracks? We fill the cracks through our spiritual practices, through our prayer and meditation, through our visioning, through our study, our spiritual study, through being of service and giving of ourselves. It's our spiritual practice that's going to remind you on a daily basis that there's something alive within you that's greater than you know. Because we could so easily get on that hamster wheel of our schedules. And let me tell you, I did my Catmining calendar too for the year. I did my calendar for the year. I am not the kind of person that plans that far, but I have to be now. And it's like, okay, I know where I'm going to be on October 17th. Like, how did you look? Do you know where you're going? Oh my gosh, you know? Like, that's so new for me. And just for anyone who doesn't know, I'm a Gemini, so that's kind of hard for me to figure out where I'm going to be when I'm there. But anyway, so that, I guess I did diverge twice, so sorry about that. But so the idea that I know what my calendar is going to be, I could so easily get so sucked into my schedule that there's no space for me, that there's no space for God, that there's no space for anything but all the doingness of life, and I think that I'm winning life, right? I think that I'm getting it done. I think I'm, or, you know, I'm cleaning my closets, I'm doing my family's laundry, I'm getting everything set for the church, I'm planning our classes, I'm doing all this stuff, and there's no space for evolution. There's no space for growth. There's no space for evolving, for being, for bringing more. It's just busyness. And so we need to look and see how we're setting up our life if we're creating space for the divine. So that morning meditation slot that we talk about all the time, the first thing you do is you meditate. Okay, you can have coffee first, but then meditate would be good. It's important. Making space for you to figure out where you're at, where your heart is, where your mind is, and what it is that you're wanting. Sometimes we don't even know what we want to create because we don't give ourselves enough space to even play with that possibility. But we all need it because that is what is wanting to push through us. That is what is wanting to be expressed through us. That is God in action. And so I love how one of the things I learned from my minister back at Seaside, Dr. Christian, was this. One of his best catchphrases is this. And I want us to do this year. I don't want us to tell God, to spend our time communing with God, telling God about how big our problems are. I want us to start telling our problems about how big our God is. I love that. Because when something shows up this year, we're going to go to God first. We're going to go to that presence and that infinite wisdom for guidance. When we feel alone, we're going to go to that place where we feel the love of the divine within us that loves you so much. And we're going to let go of all of our ideas that we're not worthy of love and just let the divine love us. I want you to let God love you. When we get stuck and we don't know what to do, we're not going to just push through and fake it till we make it. That's not what we're going to do. We're going to pause and listen for that infinite guidance that is speaking, that still small voice within us. Because let me tell you, Ernest Holmes said it and it's true. There's a power for good that's greater than you are, and you can use it. This is the year we're going to use it. And so it is.